Margie's right there with me. So fun. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this time that we can come before you, Lord, tonight and to worship you and to get into your word, Lord, and to fellowship with each other, Lord, in our group time. And I just pray that you would bless tonight, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit on this night, that you would just limit all distraction, that you would take all the cares from today and the things we have to do this week, Lord, and we would just focus on you in this time, Lord. We thank you so much, and we pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. You guys want to stand for this first song. That you would soften our hearts and open our minds, Lord, just to receive from you, Father. That we would hear the things you have for us this night, Lord. We thank you, and we pray this time in your name, Lord. Amen.
Guys are sitting so far back there. All these seats are empty. Come on, you guys. Come on a little closer. Come on. Just a little closer. Come on. As many of you know, Denise is in Israel. Yeah, she was walking on the same bedrock stone that Jesus walked. And when she comes back, she's probably just going to be glowing. So here we are. Left at home, but the Lord gave us such an incredible chapter. I'll tell you, when she called me and asked me, and some of you don't know me, my name is Debbie Bryson. She called me and asked me if I'd teach the chapter tonight. It was kind of like she was handing me a little jewel, and it's one of her all-time favorite chapters in her entire life. And to hand it over to somebody and to not be here, she said, was like tearing at her heart. So please know that she's praying for us tonight. And so let's open our Bibles to the second epistle of Peter. As we read any chapter, I think it's always interesting in the lesson, dipped back into the circumstances of Peter's life when he wrote this epistle. And as we know, those of you that have been in the study, he wrote a letter 3 years before. And now he's writing a second letter, but times have changed, and the situation has changed. He's in Rome, he's looking around, and things aren't going well. Things are getting tense. Things are kind of just pressing in on the Christian. It's a dangerous world. It's a hostile world. And he feels the sand of his life kind of going through the hourglass. And he has that sense, and I think that he had a foreboding, and we see it at the end of this chapter. He feels like his days are numbered, and they were indeed. It's the year 67, and within the year, he would be crucified upside down. And so for Peter, this is his swan song. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Who's heard the term swan song? Well, whether you've heard it or not, do you know what it means? We kind of had this vague idea of how it's used. It's like, you know, this thing at the end, this beautiful, delightful, maybe dance thing. But what it really is when a swan is dying, they sing a little song. They make this little melody not out of their throat, but out of their chest somewhere. And they sing this little melody, and it's beautiful. It's quite beautiful. But when they sing that song, then everyone knows that swan is dying. So let's pray as we start and read these words. Lord, we just thank you for this incredible, powerful, truth-packed message that Peter wrote, knowing that his days were numbered. And this was maybe his last chance to say what was burning on his heart, what he had lived to see as true. And now he had to pass it on before it was too late to pass the baton and to encourage those that would remain in that hostile world to be light shining in a dark place. And Lord, we're in a dark place, and I pray that you would speak to the depths of our hearts with the same power that he was imparting to those Christians living then. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So let's read I'm reading from the New King James. Is the power on? Can you hear? It's okay? Okay. Simon Peter, the bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right. I like that. Yes, I think it's right. As long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. You know, that the truth is that most of the time we don't need new knowledge. We need to be reminded, stirred up in our old knowledge, don't we? Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we have made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So starting here, we see Peter introducing himself for those that don't know him, and he's added something. In his first letter, he called himself an apostle of the Lord Jesus, and he was. But here, he's writing his epitaph. This is what he wants on his tombstone. He doesn't want just to say that the Lord chose him, which the Lord did. The Lord chose him. But what he's saying as he puts bondservant is he's saying, and I chose him back. He chose me and I chose him. We're bonded. And serving him is my life, not my duty. It's a get-to, not a have to. That's what a bond servant is. He was so bonded to Christ, to his heart, to his will, to his way, and it was a life commitment. And he wanted that established as his lasting memorial, if anyone would ever ask. And then he said, as he's writing to us, who've received the same precious faith that he had. As an apostle, he had a faith that was taught to him by Jesus. But we, living here in 2007, we've received that very same faith. And it's precious. Remember in his last letter, it's more precious than gold, he said. So valuable, more precious than anything on this entire earth. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied. That's a great phrase, isn't he? And any time that you see these two words, grace and peace, did you know they're always in that order? Because you never have peace, really, unless you have grace. And to have the two, and to have it multiplied, that's to be rich. No matter what your situation is tonight, if you have the grace of God, and you do, or you can't have, and then you have the peace of God, that's living. And Peter had it. Even though he knew that his life was short, that he would be losing everything that he held dear on this earth, he was at peace with it. And that's good. Have you ever seen anybody just go through a wild crisis? And you look at them and they're so calm and you think, what's wrong with you? Are you in denial? And no, sometimes that's true. But when you have the Lord, your boat can absolutely rock. I heard that hymn the other day, It Is Well With My Soul. Didn't they sing it on Sunday? It is well, it is well with my soul. And then he says, and these are some of my all-time favorite verses also. I share that with Denise. And if you're writing notes tonight, I'd like you to write some phrases. They're so important. He says, as his divine power. And maybe you've never written those words. His divine power. You need to write that down. That's important. And then you need to write under it the phrase, as his divine power has given. That's the second phrase. Has given. Under that, write the two words, to us. That's important. And then write the words, all things. All things. And then write the words pertaining to life and to godliness. What a wonderful phrase this is. His divine power has given us all things. Has given, past tense. His power, if you are a child of God tonight, his divine power. And what is the divine power? Do you think about the divine power? What God has and what he has the power to do. I think all of us as Christians need to be students of creation, need to be students of what God did in creation. I was in Missouri 2 weeks ago, and I was so excited because all of a sudden there was a thunder and lightning storm. And you know, out in California here, we don't have weather. We just have sun, you know. 72 degrees. But in Missouri, you have weather. And the whole light, the whole sky lit up. And sometimes there'd be 5 bolts just shooting all over the sky. And it was windy. It was so windy, you could hardly stand still. And I just took a blanket and I went out on the deck where I was standing and just stood there. And I felt like I wanted to hear a drum roll and a standing ovation and the hallelujah chorus. I wanted an audience. And everyone was just watching TV, you know? And I thought, what? How can you do that? Did you know there's thunder and lightning out here? This is God's power. That kind of power. can change you. That kind of power can give you all things. God, when he made the heavens and the earth, all he did was speak. He said, let there be light in the midst of darkness. And in Genesis 1, it says, and darkness. The darkness was so deep it could be felt. And all he did was speak. Wouldn't you like that if that happened at your house? Just say, clean room. That would happen. Especially power over your children. That would be great. But God has the divine power. And in that scene in Genesis 1, it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the darkness and the deep darkness and the chaos and the nothingness. Everything was void and without form. And God made all that we see. We need to be students of creation. And then the stars, the whole study of the galaxies and the stars and the solar systems. And when you study evolution and the Big Bang, the Big Bang theory, it says, you know, there was chaos and there was nothing. And all of a sudden it exploded and became everything. And that's everything about the theory of evolution does not make sense, because if it bang and spun all this matter into place and made the planets and all their little moons rotate around them, then everything would be doing that kind of thing. But did you know that some of the moons rotate this way and some of them rotate that way? God just did that just to tweak them. You know, I'm positive of it. And when you think of the vastness of the creation and the order that he put in everything, I have this little story I looked up, hadn't read it in a long time, and I just wanted to read it just for kicks. And it talks about just one of those stars, and that star is called Betelgeuse. And it's a distant star next to Orion. It happens to be 527 light years away from the Earth. Okay, do you have that fact? Fixed 527 light years. So what's a light year? A light year is light travels 186,000 miles a second. Now that's a really, really long way a second. 186,000 miles. That's a lot. Well, a light year is a year's worth of seconds traveling at 187,000 miles a second. That's really a long way. Well, Betelgeuse is 527 of those. Good grief. I mean, this just makes your brain tired thinking of how far that really is. I mean, that is a massive amount of weight. And how big is Betelgeuse? Betelgeuse is very, very large. It is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. It's not twice as big as the sun. It's twice as big as the Earth's orbit around the sun. So when the Bible says that God flung the stars into space, you want to say, good arm. Good arm. His divine power, the same power that resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Remember the story? Lazarus was dead 3 days. 3 days. And Jesus walked up and said, come forth, Lazarus. And it said, if he didn't say Lazarus, that all the bodies would come. Then they'd have a mob. You know, some of them might not have looked as good as a three-day-old body. Power. But the Bible says the same power that raised him from the dead is a kind of divine power. And I brought this little illustration, a little lamp, just to kind of lock it into our thoughts. Because what it says is his divine power has given us all things for two things, life and godliness. And the truth is most of us live life in this reality where we're always looking for power. You know, we're looking for someone to fulfill us, right? Or something, you know, looking to plug it in. You know, when we're little children, we want our toys or our playtimes or whatever that is. And later it's our friends, then our boyfriends, and then our husbands, then our next husband after we traded that husband, you know, plugging, trying to always. Isn't that the nature of the world? You know, trying to get what we need, trying to survive. And you know, it just doesn't come without the Lord. You know, we're always plugging in, but never having that power. But with this lamp, I was thinking, well, show me how it can illustrate that, Lord. And I thought, you know, that the power is for life. Thinking for life, what's life like and what I need for life? Well, I personally need wisdom. I think this is a crazy world, don't you think? Crazy things happen. I mean, it's confusing. I don't understand how to walk through some dilemmas that come my way. You know, I need wisdom. I need light. I need a light for my path to walk this way. And so he says he'll give us that. Remember what it says in James? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let him ask God, who gives freely and without upbraiding. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea. And so what he's saying here is his wisdom will come into my heart and light my soul and give me a light for my path. His power will do that. But then for godliness, he says that we are like a city set on a hill. We're like a light set on a lampstand. And so as I take this light, and for all of us, I'm looking at your faces, and I know most of you. I know most of you. You not only want to be wise women, but you want to make a difference. But you know what? Sometimes we try, don't we? We try to figure it out, even as Christians. We try to figure it out. We try to do the right thing. But somehow we just can't. And I'm seeing so many Christians right now living in their own strength. Living in their own strength. And the last part of that equation, for he has given us all things that pertain to life. And not only life, but godliness. What's the last phrase? Look at your Bible. Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. So He's equipped us. He's made us. That longing in your soul to be that wise woman, to be that godly woman. He made you to be that way. But trying harder just leaves you still with all potential, but unmet. The connection is the knowledge of Him. That's where we plug into the power. That's where we plug into power. And I'm thinking of Peter. I'm thinking as he writes these words, don't you remember Peter? On that scandalous night when Jesus had been arrested and Peter had followed from afar. And he was in the courtyard, and this little servant girl came up to Peter and said, you know, I've seen you before. I've seen you. Weren't you with that Galilean? Weren't you with Jesus? And you know what Peter said? I don't know him. I don't think he ever forgot those 30-some-odd years later. He made sure he never said that. And he never lived that again, because child of God, that's the disconnect. And many Christians, like, you crossed that line and you came up to the plate and you said, yes, I accept Jesus, and you say the prayer, and you come and you want to serve him, and you want to know him, and you're doing good, but then life just happens and pulls you apart, and life gets crazy, and you get busy, and you got choices to make, and you drift, and you drift, and you drift, and you drift. Paul knew what it was to live in his own power, and he talks about it in Philippians. He's also writing his swan song at the end of his life as he's writing from a Roman jail. And he says, you know what? I was the creme de la creme. Religious? I was religious. And I was good at it. And basically, he says, I was better than you could ever think of being good at it. But I was wrong. I was unplugged. I had no power. And then he says, I'm done with that. Forgetting those things that are behind. I count that rubbish. I count it rubbish compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. The excellency of knowing Christ. Wes, are we growing in the knowledge of Jesus? It's not just head knowledge. It's experience. The knowledge, it's a noun and it's a verb. It's an ongoing knowing him. When was the last time you had a heart-to-heart talk with him? When was the last time you asked him what was on his heart today, for you? When was the last time you asked his opinion? When was the last time you honored his, and as I was looking at the definition of this gnoskos word, which is the Greek word, there was one facet of it where it was like it slipped into intuition. Have you ever known somebody so well that you can feel what they're going to do next? You can just sense it. You just feel their thought process. If you have a good friend or you're close to your husband or maybe your mom, just know the way they think. And that's what happens. We're transformed by the knowledge of him. His divine power is what gives us all things, not just for life, but for godliness through the knowledge of him. Been given to by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Notice that there is just a comma in between these phrases. We're not starting a new thought. His divine power, his divine nature, the knowledge of him, godliness, has extended to us great and precious promises. No period, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And about his divine promises, oh my goodness, I could have spent days on this. And I thought, this is awesome. His divine promises. Connect the dots now. Stay with us. That through knowing him, then we get to hold on to, we get to grasp, we get to own these promises. But these promises then work in us. They change us. They make us more like him. Partakers of his divine nature. And so you might be thinking, so how does that work? How does a promise make me more like him? So I just took a piece of paper and I want to challenge you to do this too. Promise. What do you need a promise for? Looking at your faces again. Maybe somebody came here tonight and you feel weak. You feel insignificant. You feel unable. You feel incapable to be a mom, to be a friend, Lord, to to even survive. Sometimes I hear people say that phrase, I'm done. I can't do this. I can't take this anymore. Maybe there's some facet in your life you're like that. You need a promise, don't you? You want a promise? Who wants a promise for that? There's a little weak tonight, okay. Isaiah 40, God says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the God of the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Verse 29 says, he who neither faints nor is weary, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Then verse 31 of Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a promise. If you wait on the Lord for your divine strength, your divine power, you take that time to know him, he'll renew your strength. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, I love this. I had to smile as I wrote this down. He says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. This is a promise. So some of you are excited now. That's a promise. Why did he choose the foolish things? To confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. Now some of you are really excited. To put to shame the things which are mighty. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's good. That's a promise. And the promise that Jesus made to us, that his strength is perfected in your weakness. That promise. We need to embrace it. We need to hold it. Are you sad tonight? Are you in pain? Are you grieving? And some of you I know you are. Has your heart been broken? Who needs a promise? Okay. Hold on to this promise. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Now to me that means if you're brokenhearted tonight, that he is just like a breath away. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That changes me. I know some of you are so brokenhearted. Some of you have been hurt so bad. Healing is not even something you can think about. Survival is all you think about. This is a promise. He heals the brokenhearted. 2 Corinthians, he says in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God of all comfort who comforts you. He comforts you in all things he comforts you so that you can comfort those who are in any trouble. Are you confused? James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask the Father. Are you bitter? Are you bitter? You need a 55 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Need another promise? If you're bitter, it says, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, pray for those that despitefully, that you may be daughters of your Father in heaven, that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Over and over again, I had this little book, Promises of God. When we're fearful, when we're doubting, when we're worried, when we're stressed, when we're burdened, we need to take the promises and take them in. Jesus said, if you abide in me and let my words abide in you. He said, abide in me and let me abide in you, and you will bear much, will be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You know, the world makes promises. I don't think there's a more classic picture of that than Britney Spears right now. She had promises, didn't she? She had promises from her beauty, from her talent, from then her fame, from then her money, from then her husband, from then her children. All those things are the things that women want. And they held out promises, didn't they? Promises, promises. But they weren't great and precious. And they just brought corruption. I'm not saying that to pick on her. I'm just saying it is what it is. We need to grab hold of the promises of God. And then this wonderful crescendo. And I wish we had like 2 hours to go over. He says, for this very reason, giving all diligence. You know what? So many Christians are not giving diligence to their walk. You know, they're acting like they're doing God a favor by just showing up to church. You know, they're not pressing, like Paul said. I press toward the goal for my upward prize in Christ Jesus. Diligence, that's a good thing. He says, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? That's integrity. That's keeping your word. That's turning off the TV. That's dressing right. Virtue. Have that. That's good to godliness. It's beautiful. The world is hungry to see that. Add to your faith virtue. You know, the devil believes and he trembles. That's not faith. Faith grows. Saying grow, grow. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of the Lord. 13 times in this short little book, he talks about knowing and knowledge. And some people just know pieces of God. They're like the 9 blind men that were asked to describe an elephant. And they stood at all different angles. And one man said, well, the elephant is like a rope because he's standing by his trunk. And another man said, well, no, an elephant is like a tree because he was standing by a leg. And another man said, no, an elephant is like a big spear because he was holding spear. He was holding, standing by the tusk. Oftentimes we're like that. We know one little facet of God. We need to be students of God. We need to just be savoring who he is. Learning about his wisdom, learning about his grace, learning about his righteousness, learning about his holiness, learning that he's a giving God, learning that he's a just God, learning that he's a fatherly God, learning that he is an honest God, a truthful God, a present God. We need to be growing in our knowledge. Add to your knowledge, it then says, self-control. Oh, that would be good. Self-control. And what is that? Oh, add that to your faith and to your knowledge. Self-control in our words. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's restraint. It's not just knowing the right thing. It's knowing when to do it and when not to do it. It's reining yourself in. And there's lots of times that we need to. And it's a good thing, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Perseverance. Hang in there. Keep going. Press through the hills. Press through the valleys. Perseverance. Don't give up. And to godliness. Growing to be more like him. And how do you know what godliness is? Unless you study him, unless you know him, unless you listen to him, unless you let him live in you. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I recently heard a phrase that some people have just enough religion to make them mean. Want me to say that again? Some people have just enough religion to make them mean. We need to add to our faith and our knowledge and our perseverance brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness is thinking outside your own little sphere. Spurgeon once said, those people that live all wrapped up in themselves, find themselves with a very small package. Brotherly kindness needs to be added to our Christian walk and to brotherly kindness, love. So let's thank you, Lord, for this powerful chapter. God, I feel like we've just begun. We've just taken an inch step into it. Lord, may we go back and savor it and treasure it. Take it to the deep places of our heart and then most of all, live it. Peter had walked this walk with Jesus and then for many years with him living in his heart. Lord, he's urging us, as I feel you are tonight. I feel like some of us aren't plugged in, growing in more than just head knowledge. Lord, I pray that you would help us to lean near, that you would live big enough.
It's just not working out right now. So if you had purchased a ticket for the singles evening for the 20th, someone will contact you about that, okay? And also to remind you that the registration for the retreat, I can't believe it. After tonight, we have two more lessons. It's gone by. Am I the only one who thinks it's gone like that? It's really fast. And so we have two more lessons, and we have our last evening together, and then whammo, it's the retreat. So be sure to get your deposit in or make your payments or register, and definitely invite your friends, any ladies that you'd like to come along. It's going to be great. And tonight was a really neat message. Maybe God's stirring your heart. Maybe you would like to pray with someone about an issue in your life. The time is short. Jesus is coming back. It's time to get plugged in right now. So if that's you, there will be a lady over here on my left, your right, and for prayer. And a couple ladies, actually, will be over here on this side. So if you'd like some prayer tonight, please come forward. Don't worry about getting into your groups. Get prayer, okay? So God bless you.
Grand finale kind of thing, and our kids were picked as one of the six, and they actually opened up that particular portion of Musicale. So praise the Lord, they did.